Good morning. My name is Roz. We're going to read from God's Word, Joshua chapter 2. If you would like a Bible to read along, please put your hand up and we will give you one. For those at home, just grab your Bibles. Church Bibles, page is 184. Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two men as spies from the Acacia Grove, saying, "Go and scout the land, especially Jericho." So they left, and they came to the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, "Look, some of the Israelite men have come here tonight to investigate the land." Then the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab and said, "Bring out those men who have come to you and entered your house, for they came to investigate the entire land." But the woman had taken the men and hidden them. So she said, "Yes, the men did come to me, but I didn't know where they were from. At nightfall, when the city gate was about to close, the men went out, and I don't know where they were going. Chase after them quickly, and you can catch up with them." But she had taken them to the roof and hidden them among the stalks of flax that she had arranged on the roof. The men pursued them along the road to the fords of the Jordan, and as soon as they left to pursue them, the city gate was shut. Before the men fell asleep, she went up on the roof and said to them, "I know that the Lord has given you this land and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and everyone who lives in the land is panicking because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did in Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings you completely destroyed across the Jordan. When we heard this, we lost heart, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Now please swear to me by the Lord that you will also show kindness to my father's family, because I show kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father, mother, brothers, sisters, and all who belong to them, and save us from death." The men answered her, "We will give you our lives for yours. If you do not report our mission, we will show kindness and faithfulness to you when the Lord gives us the land." Then she let them down by a rope through the window, since she lived in the house that was built into the city wall, into the wall of the city. "Go to the hill country so that the men pursuing you won't find you," she said to them. "Hide there for 3 days until they return. Afterward, go your own way." The men said to her, "We will be free from this oath you made us swear, unless, when we enter the land, you tie this scarlet cord to the window through which you let us down. Bring your father, mother, brothers, and all your father's family into your house. If anyone goes out of the doors of your house, his death will be his own fault, and we will be innocent. But if anyone with you in the house should be harmed, his death will be our fault. And if you report our mission, we are free from the oath we made you swear." "Let it be as you say," she replied, and she sent them away. After they had gone, she tied the scarlet cord to the window. So the two men went into the hill country and stayed there 3 days until the pursuing had returned. They searched all along the way but did not find them. Then the men returned, came down from the hill country and crossed the Jordan. They went to Joshua, son of Nun, and reported everything that had happened to them. They told Joshua, "The Lord had handed the entire land to us. Everyone who lives in the land is also panicking because of us."
Thanks, Roz. Well, we are going to look at Rahab this morning. We're going to be looking at that passage and then a few others. As we start our series, looking at the great women of the Old Testament, I wonder when Adrian said that we were going to look at heroines of the Old Testament, how many people thought Rahab? Obviously Rahab, whose one action of faithfulness was to lie in the face of authority. But that's not what we're learning. Don't write that down. It is a great story. One where we can see God's holiness and righteousness. I've prepared a few pictures just for you. So if you have any questions about them, Rob, he said he'd answer them. But as we look at Rahab, let's ask God to be with us and help us out as we look deeper into His Word. So pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that we can continue to meet together, to sit under it together. As we look at Rahab and her story and how she was faithful to You, help us to be faithful just like she was, to trust in You and walk with You. Amen. Back in primary school, when I was having an assembly, I can't remember if this happened every time there was an assembly or it was just every so often or the big ones, but this one assembly, I remember we were sitting there and people from every class in every year were getting an award, starting with kindergarten all the way up to year six. And as year six boys, we were sitting there quietly waiting for our turn. That wasn't even the joke. I don't know what. We were sitting there quietly, and the names were being called out. Harry and Lauren, Sophie, and then Adam was called. Adam, come up and get an award for your great artwork, for understanding the project and completing it, all the requirements in an outstanding way. Adam, he was sitting next to me, and he got up with a real smug look in his face, and he walked up to the principal and shook the principal's hand and stood there with his award, with a huge smile on his face. And he came back and he sat next to me and he looked me right in the eyes and he said, I didn't do an artwork. I wasn't even there that day. And we never spoke of it again. Adam was called out of all the students. He was given a place of glory and honor for something he didn't do, for something he didn't deserve. There was no merit on him or his work. And there was certainly nothing that he could boast about. In the same way, we see that in Rahab's story. How God pulls a Gentile harlot out of her sinfulness and He puts her in a place of honor and glory. And that's exactly what God does for us as well. He takes us out of a sinful Gentile world and puts us and makes us a part of His chosen people. We first meet Rahab in Joshua chapter 2 as the Israelites are preparing to enter the promised land. And so we're going to look at Joshua chapter 2 and see Rahab, the original pretty woman. Joshua, he sent spies into the land. Specifically, he said, go to Jericho and suss Jericho out to see if we can take it. He sent them in just like Moses had sent spies in 40 odd years earlier. We're told in verse 1 that the spies, they go straight to Rahab's house. We're not told why they go to this harlot's house. Some people think that they went there because of the business that she was in. It wasn't strange for men to come in and out of all hours of the night, people not knowing who they were. It wasn't strange also if we think about the grace of God completely. Jesus ate meals with these types of people, with sinners and tax collectors. Although in verse 3, it seems that the king knew exactly where these spies were. The king knew the spies had gone to Rahab's place. And when confronted about it, Rahab said, yeah, they'd come here, but now they've left, and the soldiers believed her. Oh, yep, okay. Rahab went to the Israelite spies and said, let's make a deal. I won't hand you over if when you attack, you spare my life and those of the people in my family. And the Israelite spies, they agreed. They told Rahab to hang a scarlet rope from her window. I'm assuming she had a scarlet rope because spotlight don't carry that color. And then they returned to the camp. A few chapters later, in chapter 6, Israel walk around Jericho 6 times or 7 times, and the wall fell down, and Israel attacks. And so in chapter 6, verses 22 and 23, we read this. Joshua said to the two men who had scouted the land, "Go to the prostitute's house and bring the woman out of there and all who were with her, just as you swore to her." So the young men who had scouted went in and brought out Rahab and her father, mother, brothers, and all who belonged to her. They brought her out, her whole family, and settled them outside the camp of Israel. Rahab and her family escape to the Israel camp, and they are saved from the destruction that Jericho went through. More than that, more than just being saved from destruction, Rahab is brought into the people of God. An outsider, a Canaanite, an enemy, is brought into the people of God. And we can see this because Rahab marries an Israelite and becomes King David's great-great-grandmother. You can read that in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. King David's great-great-grandmother. The writer of Hebrews hangs Rahab in the hall of fame of faithful people. And James, in his letter, uses Rahab as an example of faith seen in action. But how did this happen? How does someone move from living in sin, an outsider to God's people, into Jesus' family tree? How does this happen? Well, there are 6 things that I think we need to see in Rahab's story. 6 things that we're going to go through. The first, we see that Rahab acknowledges God. Back in chapter 2, Joshua chapter 2, verse 9, we see there some facts that Rahab knows about God. God has already given the land over to Israel. And it's well known that God was the one who parted the Red Sea, who freed Egypt. And have a read of verse 11. "When we heard this, we lost heart, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below." Rahab sees God for who he truly is. The God in heaven above, the God on earth below. Rahab acknowledges God. And Paul, at the start of his letter to the Romans, he says that there's no reason for people not to acknowledge God. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Let me read it out for you. Romans 1, verse 20 says, "For his invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through what he has made. As a result, people are without excuse." Just look around. Look around. Listen to the noises you hear, the birds and the wind, touch things. Creation points to a creator. We're so happy to look at things and ask who made it. Who made these chairs? Who made this tree or these bed slats? The answer in this church is usually Fred, but sometimes it's not. We are so eager and happy to ask, who made this? Why not do that with the whole world? Who created the world and acknowledge God for doing that? Like Rahab, we need to acknowledge God for the thing that he quite obviously did. God is the creator of the universe. God is the one who sustains all life. That's the baseline of facts that we need. We need to acknowledge God. We need to acknowledge God as the one who saves people. And this is the second thing we see from Rahab's story. God saves people with a past. Rahab, she had a less than desirable job. When you go to the counselor at school and she asks you, or he asks you what you want to be, I don't think this is on the list that she has waiting. What she did for an income, God says over and over again, is sinful and not to be done. Rahab has a past. If someone comes up and gives their testimony and says, my story began like Rahab's would, that would throw us. We would be shocked. But back in Joshua chapter 6, we read that the young men who had scouted went back in, and they brought Rahab out, and her father and mother and brothers and all who belonged to her. They brought the whole family and settled them outside the camp of Israel. And then in verse 24, it says, they burnt the city and everything in it. They burnt Jericho to the ground. Rahab was saved, not because of anything she did. In fact, she was saved in spite of the two things that we know about Rahab. She was a liar, and she did things. God did not have to save her. He owed Rahab nothing. Rahab being brought out of the city is an act of God's love and God's mercy and God's holiness. Rahab was saved not because of who she is or what she's done, but because of who God is. And that's exactly how God deals with us. Now, I understand in a worldly view, our pasts are nothing like Rahab's. It may not even be close to equal. But in the sight of God, they are very similar as we turned away from God and as we wanted to live our way without Him. You wanted to be the ruler of your own life. And Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that we're saved by grace through faith and not from works. God came to earth in the person Jesus. We celebrated that yesterday. He came to save people from destruction. We're not saved because of anything we do. In fact, we're saved despite the things that we do. We are saved from destruction through the death of Jesus, through faith in that death, faith that it paid for our sins. And this is the third thing that we need to see from Rahab. Rahab puts her faith in the knowledge that she has of God. Hebrews 11. I'm going to turn to Hebrews 11. Turn to Hebrews 11. It's in the New Testament. Hebrews 11. The writer in verse 1 says this about faith. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. That's what faith is. The reality of the hope, the proof that's not seen. And then he goes through all these people in the Old Testament who showed faith, who was faithful in the hope that they had. And he puts them forward as examples. He says, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, by faith Isaac, by faith Moses. And then in verse 31, by faith Rahab. Rahab is put in this list of faithful people. By faith, Rahab welcomed the spies in. The whole of Jericho, we're told, knew what God had done with Egypt and the two Amorite kings. The whole of Jericho knew that Israel were camped just outside the city. The whole of Jericho knew what would happen. What is it going to be accomplished? But it was only Rahab that believed that God would save her, even though she didn't deserve it. Rahab had faith in who God is and what he promised. Paul in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 says this, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcised nor uncircumcised accomplish anything. What matters is faith working through love. We know that we deserve destruction because of our past. We know that whatever we try in order to pay back or make up for what we've done doesn't work. It accomplishes nothing. So we need to put our faith in God, just as Rahab did. And God will graciously show grace towards us because of who he is. He will pull us out of a sinful Gentile world and make us new, make us part of his people. God will redefine who we are." This is the fourth thing that Rahab shows us, we see in Rahab, that God redefines people with the past. The book of Joshua defines Rahab by her occupation. When we speak about her quite often, that's how we define her as well. But that's not how God sees her. God defines her differently. Because of her faith, God redefined who she was. She's brought in to be part of God's people. So much so that Matthew, as well as Luke in their Gospels, tell us that Rahab married a man named Simon. Tuna was taken already. Together, they had a son named Boaz, who fathered Obed. And Obed fathered Jesse, and Jesse fathered King David. Rahab was brought into the people of God, so much so that in her family lineage came Jesus, who died on the cross to save her from what she did, to save us for our sins. And it's through Jesus' death that we all are also redefined. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come." On the cross, Jesus takes away our sin. He takes away the defining feature of our fallen humanity. On the cross, we are redefined and now seen as God's chosen people, because God sees us through Jesus. That is because we are united with Jesus. Romans 6, verse 5 says this, "For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection." We are redefined into the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's who we are. That is what shapes everything we now do. It is that faith in the cross and the unity with Jesus that leads to our action, which is the next thing, the fifth thing that we see from Rahab. Rahab acts on the faith that she has in God. James, in his letter to the 12 tribes, famously says this very misunderstood verse, James 2:28. Sorry, James 2:18. Doesn't go to 28. James 2:18. "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you faith by my works.'" James says that if you trust the word of God and the death of Jesus as the only way to be saved, then how you act, what you do, must reflect that. James gives some examples of people and their faith that can be seen in how they acted. In James 2:25, "In the same way, wasn't Rahab the prostitute also justified by works in receiving the messengers and sending them out by a different route?" Rahab acted based on faith, on the faith she had in God in heaven and the God on earth below. She trusted that God would take Jericho that he had promised to Israel. She knew that she was living as an outsider to God's people. And the only way to move from certain death into certain life was through trust in God. She put her complete trust in God. All her faith in God as she answered the knock on the door and faced those soldiers. Knowing that the spies had to get back to camp, Rahab acted in faith. As people who live on this side of the cross, as God's people redefined through Jesus' death on the cross, we are to act on our faith. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. We know that we will live forever in heaven. We know that God works all things for the good of his people. Romans 8:28 tells us that. And if it doesn't look like it, even if it doesn't look like it to us. So everything we do, no matter how small or big it is, we do as an outworking of the faith we have in the one that saves us. Knowing that God works all things for his glory, even when we sin as we try to act out our faith. And the final thing we see in Rahab is God uses people with a past. In Joshua, the spies manage to get back to camp safely, and they report back. I'll paraphrase, we got this. The spies are able to avoid capture and return to camp because of what Rahab had done. But this does not make it the right thing to do. Rahab lied. This is a great opportunity to see the greatness of God. Just because God uses sinful acts of some of the things that we do to bring about his glory doesn't mean that they're the right thing to do. As Paul in Romans 3, verses 7 and 8 says, but if by my lie God's truth abounds to his glory, why am I also still being judged as a sinner? And why not say, just as some people slanderously claim, we say, let us do what is evil so that good may come. Their condemnation is deserved. The problem is that we only see things through the fallen, sinful humanity and our perspective like that. It's easy to say that Rahab needed to lie, otherwise Jesus would have never died on the cross. But that's just not true. Rahab could have led the soldiers to where the spies were hiding and handed them over. And you know what would have happened? Israel would have marched around the city walls 7 times and God would have handed the promised land over to them. But God acts generously and wholly and uses people with a past. People like Rahab. And God uses people like us all the time. Even when we slip up and make the wrong decisions and do something sinful. God uses us to do his work because like Rahab, we are chosen to be part of his people. God pulls us out of a sinless Gentile world and puts us into his chosen people through the death of Jesus, making us part of his family. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for using us. We thank you for saving us, just as you saved Rahab. Lord, help us to act in faithfulness. Help us to act in righteousness as we do so. Clinging onto the cross is the only way to be saved. Thank you for using us and redefining us. Amen.